Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Got a loaded show. Todd Richards, Preds assistant coach, joining us at 7:30. Teron Davenport at 8. Sam Mellinger at 8:30. Mike Golic Jr. at 9. Hal Gill at 9:30. So a lot to get to here on the show today. We'll get to the Super Bowl. What do the Titans do next? All of that coming up here in just a few minutes here on Robbie and Rex. So right now, talking about the AFC South as a whole. And Joe, it's amazing. Like, think about the quarterback situation a couple of years ago in the AFC South. You had Andrew Luck, Deshaun Watson, Marcus Mariota, Nick Foles heading into the front in Jacksonville as well. And now Andrew Luck has retired, which, by the way, there were some rumors flying around over the last couple of days from this dude on Twitter that, like, apparently leaked some text messages from his wife that is friends with Andrew Luck's wife about Andrew Luck missing football and meeting with, quote, Jimmy from the Colts. And that had Indianapolis swirling for about 48 hours.
Has it been invalidated?
I don't know if it's officially been invalidated, but everybody just assumes it's fake.
Okay.
Yeah.
I totally missed
it. I mean, it was, the Jimmy from the Colts.
Jimmy.
That's how they address Jim Irsay. So, look, maybe it is real. I think everybody assumes that it's fake at this point.
What if it isn't?
What if it isn't? Andrew Luck's coming back. But that was the song and dance from Colts fans the last couple of days. But it looks like that is not real. And look, if you think about Andrew Luck, and Stephen Holder at The Athletics talked about this as well. If you think about Andrew Luck, he's like the most private person on the earth. His family largely the same. I doubt they're sending out text to all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And if they're friends, probably not leaking them either, would be my guess.
So again, this was supposed to be Luck's wife talking to
one of her friends. Yes. And this guy got a hold of the text message.
You know what? I appreciate the ruse. That's an elaborate scheme.
Guys, Twitter name is
shared on Twitter.
At Kareem Jumpman.
All right, I'm going. I'm following.
At Kareem Jumpman. And he tweeted into some show, says, my wife has a mutual friend with Nicole's best friend, which Nicole is the wife of Andrew Luck. I think this answers a lot of our questions. This was Sunday or yesterday. I'm not quite sure. And then went on to kind of show the text message there of, yeah, he's missing football a lot. Because the conversation transitions from apparently like their child taking their first step to, oh, by the way, he's missing football. It's like, okay, what are we doing here? Dramatic switch.
I see that you can just quickly search, and Kareem Jumpman is like all over. So it's Mike. Wait a minute. That's who we're – that can't be the right one. He only has 100 followers? How did he not get any followers out of this? Isn't that the whole point of doing stuff like this?
He got attention. He was on McAfee's show all over the place.
Really?
About Andrew Luck coming back.
Well, that's too bad.
Doesn't look like that's going to happen. But it is amazing. Like, Andrew Luck is gone. Deshaun Watson looks like he's on his way out in Houston. And if you're the Titans, you got to be sitting around here looking around saying, all right, in a two-year span, we've gone from Marcus Mariota as our quarterback to finally finding a quarterback that is very good and that we believe can win at a high level. And then our division has basically imploded at that position with Andrew Luck out the door. And we'll talk about what Indy does next at quarterback coming up here in just a few minutes. Deshaun Watson looking like he's going to be out the door. And I realize Trevor Lawrence is about to come into the fold, and we think he's going to be really good. The Titans could have dodged a huge bullet here with Andrew Luck being out and Deshaun Watson potentially on his way out as well. Like, think about what that does for the Titans in terms of their window here to win in the AFC South.
Yeah, after that loss in the 2018 finale, I remember thinking, like, how could you feel good about the next several years? I mean, even if Mariota comes in, and if he plays in that game, maybe they win. I mean, they hung in pretty well. But you're like, gosh, Andrew Luck is going to be there forever. How are you going to get past that team? You know, you're not getting past that team anytime soon.
Try beating him one time. They can beat him once.
And then you got Watson. So it's amazing how quickly things can change, you know, in this league. That's why. Talk about windows in the NFL. Better keep that real tight, because it changes fast. But, yeah, it has changed dramatically. And, yeah, maybe Trevor Lawrence in a couple of years with all their picks, they'll actually make good picks, and they'll be the monster of the AFC South. But right now is a window of some length for you.
But just think about, like, even if Trevor Lawrence comes in and is really good, just think about what the division could look like. If you're the Titans and you're in the same division with Deshaun Watson, Andrew Luck, and Trevor Lawrence. Like, that's a murderer's row of what you're dealing with there. And to have that basically cut out, potentially with Deshaun Watson on the move, that's huge. I mean, you're talking about guys that we know in Andrew Luck and Deshaun Watson. I mean, they were absolutely good enough to win a Super Bowl, probably to compete for, you know, 5, 6, 7 years. Now, I realize the Colts, you know, they've got a great front office, and they're doing things the right way, and the Houston Texans do not. And that's been – I mean, obviously, that's the issue Deshaun Watson's dealing with. So I'm not saying if Watson hangs around in Houston that they're automatically going to win a Super Bowl, because we've seen it. They can screw things up pretty quickly. But, I mean, if you're the Titans, you got to sit around here and say, man, how often does a team catch a break like this where you've got two, I think, surefire Hall of Fame quarterbacks that are in your division and are out the door before they can really do any damage to you? I mean, it's unbelievable what's happened here in the AFC South.
Yeah, no, it really is. And like you said, very different. I mean, even with all that, all their ineptitude, what, they went 4 out of 5 years, they won the AFC South? It is. It's an opportunity, you know. It's an opportunity, even if you do think, you know, that Lawrence is going to be the guy here. And who knows? I mean, Trevor Lawrence, great in college. I'll be shocked if he's not a good NFL quarterback, but great NFL quarterback, you cannot know that. You cannot know that in college. And if you could, then a whole bunch of stupid teams wouldn't have passed on Deshaun Watson, for one thing. I mean, Patrick Mahomes, you know, look at him and what his profile was coming out of college. Trevor Lawrence is going to be good in the NFL, or I'll be shocked, but great in the NFL? I don't know that. We don't know that.
Especially in that situation. Like, it's Jacksonville.
Yeah.
So who knows?
Right.
Let's go to our text line.
Duval.
Yeah, let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Don't ever do that again.
Wow.
Ooh. Okay, well, I'll sing the Lions fight song.
A little bit of hostility from Ryan Port there. Dan texts in on our text line and says, Jacksonville could be a dangerous team if things come together. Houston is falling apart like an old crumbling building. Indianapolis is already very dangerous, but depending on who they bring in for quarterback. Side note, I hope Detroit moves Jared Goff to Indy for even more draft picks. So Dan, I believe, is a Lions fan. Wants to see more picks coming in there for Detroit and Jared Goff on his way to Indy.
It's good to have some Lions fans listening.
You think they could flip Jared Goff?
I've heard that. I've heard that thrown out there. What would people think about that? What would Jared Goff with that team? Would you feel better about the Colts with Jared Goff next year than you did about Phillip Rivers in 2020?
I don't know that I would feel better. I don't know that I'd feel a whole lot worse. I mean, I don't know that Jared Goff is the guy that scares you. And leaving open the possibility of what we've talked about with him, that there is this conversation out there that maybe he goes somewhere else and excels, and Ryan Tannehill has started this whole thing in the NFL with that of, hey, maybe you don't want to give up on these quarterbacks too soon. But I watched Jared Goff play, and I think to myself, ugh, very average. Very average.
Yeah, I do too. I kind of think, though, if that were to play out, I think I would like the Colts' chances a little bit more than this year. For all Phillip Rivers has done, he just has some limitations. I mean, Jared Goff, you know, at times it's head-scratching to watch him. But I've also seen him, obviously 2 years ago, played very well all year.
Sure. Had a pretty good running game that year, too, and you've got a great running game in Indianapolis.
Right, but that's the thing. I mean, he's got the he is that guy who needs the conditions. And people say this about Tannehill. I don't think it's as true with Tannehill, because Tannehill can extend plays and improvise and run, you know, and he's athletic. But Goff is that guy that if you've got good conditions, he'll put the ball on the mark, downfield, push it downfield. I think they might be a little bit more dangerous. I don't know that I mean, to me, like, Stafford makes him a Super Bowl contender. Goff doesn't, but I think they're a little better if they got Goff.
So you brought up Matthew Stafford. Obviously, he is now off the table for Indianapolis. So as we look at their quarterback options that are realistic, is there a scenario out there, if you're a Titans fan, that really scares you that Indianapolis could pursue? We'll discuss that when we come back. But first, I got to tell you about my friends at FanDuel. You can celebrate the 55th edition of the big game with exclusive 55-1 odds on FanDuel Sportsbook. And if you've never tried FanDuel before, new users can bet on either team and get 55-1 odds when the Buccaneers take on Kansas City. That's right. You can bet $5 and win $275 if you pick the winner of the big game coming up on February the 7th. I've been betting football on FanDuel all season long. It's been fantastic. And also, some very interesting props for this Super Bowl as well. The over-under right now on FanDuel Sportsbook for passing yards for Tom Brady is 296.5. So maybe you feel great about Brady going over the mark. Maybe you feel great about Kansas City's defense keeping him under the mark. That's one of the examples of the many props that you can bet on the FanDuel Sportsbook. So just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and use promo code ROB, that's R-O-B, to get started. The FanDuel Sportsbook promo code ROB. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. Must wager on designated boost market. Deposit required. Max bonus of $275. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. And for problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, taking you through this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Predators assistant coach Todd Richards will join us here in about 12 minutes. Looking forward to that conversation. The Preds taking on the Florida Panthers tonight. So we'll talk to Todd about all things Nashville Predators coming up. But right now, Joe, talking about the AFC South and specifically the Indianapolis Colts. Now, Matthew Stafford, we talked about last week, maybe being a fit for the Colts. And if that happens, you're feeling pretty good about the Colts and their chances in the division. Now that's off the table with Stafford going to the Rams. So as you look at the options that are on the table, that are realistic for Indianapolis, I wonder if there's one out there left that really scares Titans fans now that Stafford is gone. Because I would say this, I would hope for the sake of the Indianapolis or for the Houston Texans that Deshaun Watson is not a realistic option for the Colts. Now, maybe they put together a package that you just can't resist, and maybe that ends up being the case. But I would hope if you're Houston, you're not dealing him inside the division.
I mean, you never know with that clown show in Houston.
You never know. But so I guess if you want to say he's a realistic option, then yes, he would terrify you if you're a Titans fan. But I tend to think he's not a realistic option for Indy.
I mean, Cal McNair and Jack Easterby might send Watson to Indy for like a fourth-round pick and call it a day.
That would be something. Sure, Houston fans would love that. But outside of that, I mean, Carson Wentz has been rumored. I mean, right now, I mean, Jacoby Brissett, his contract is expiring. Maybe you go back and run it back with him. There's obviously the draft as well that you could move up in if you want to. If you're the Colts, there's options that are on the table. Sam Darnold maybe potentially in a trade. Is there an option left out there that if you're a Titans fan, you're just shaking in your boots about if they end up in Indianapolis?
No, but there's some options that could work. Look, I'm not totally out on Sam Darnold. I'm really not. Who knows? You put that guy, you know, you give Sam Darnold that offensive line running game, that defense, that overall competence in an organization, he could be good. You know, Matt Ryan is, the Falcons situation is really interesting there, and it's certainly possible that they could decide to move on. And Matt Ryan, still, I think he's pretty good. Like, I would rate Stafford ahead of him, but I don't – not like a huge gap.
I think Matt Ryan, you're a lot more scared of if you're a Titans fan than Phillip Rivers last year, without question.
I agree. What do the Falcons want to do? There's a lot of talk about, you know, that they might move Julio Jones, have Matt Ryan still draft a quarterback, but sort of have that transitional situation since they're in a total rebuild anyway. So maybe that'll be the case. But I think he's probably number one on the list of what would scare you.
Ryan Porth, you are a man who's been scarred time and again by the Indianapolis Colts and their quarterbacks. Is there an option on the table that scares you as a Titans fan?
Well, here's one that has been intriguing. I don't know if it necessarily scares me, but this theory that Deshaun Watson could go to Vegas and then Derek Carr to Indianapolis, and then Houston get a bunch of picks. I mean, Derek Carr, with the right situation, I think could be almost to Stafford level.
I think if you're a Colts fan, I would think you'd be pretty excited about that. So if you're a Colts fan, or if you're a Colts anti-fan,
yes,
how do you rank those two, Matt Ryan, Derek Carr?
Derek Carr, number one. Because Matt Ryan is on the backside of his career. With Derek Carr, not that he's, you know, still on the upward trajectory, but
he's still young.
He's still young, yeah. Still in his prime. So I would say Carr.
Go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate texts in and says, what's Green Bay doing with Rodgers? That should concern Titans fans if he doesn't retire.
Nothing.
Well, number one, he's not going to retire. And number two, he's not going anywhere. They pretty much shut that down the last week or so. So he's not going anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, if he was floating around out there, be pretty wild. It's already pretty wild. But, yeah, the three-way trade thing, there are really a lot of different – I mean, there are other possibilities on that front. I just think if you're the Colts, I mean, what would they have to do to move up to get one of those, you know, top guys? I mean, you're talking about, we know where Lawrence is going to go, and then you got Zach Wilson. You've got, obviously, Justin Fields, maybe the kid, Trey Lance,
yep.
You know. Any of those guys scare you? I mean, even if they were to get Trevor Lawrence in this window we're talking about, which is that's what we're talking about right now, who can win this division? I'd still like the Titans' chances over the Colts with Trevor Lawrence as a rookie. So I feel like, you know, obviously you have to think long-term as well when you're GM, and Chris Ballard's done a really good job of that, but it feels to me like the Colts are more in the let's get someone ready right now to take this team to another level.
The intriguing piece to me is Carson Wentz. It's specifically, you know, obviously his relationship with Frank Reich. That's been rumored to be out there. Now, look, Carson Wentz's contract, I mean, it's if you're the Colts, I don't really know if you want to engage in that. And maybe you're able to convince Philadelphia to help keep some part of it. I don't know. But what is Carson Wentz as a player? I mean, this year, he looked bad. I mean, he looked really bad. I mean, you're talking about completing less than 60% of your passes, 16 touchdowns, 15 picks, fumbled the ball a lot too, like made some boneheaded decisions. But we've also seen Carson Wentz play at an MVP level. Like, so what is he now? And can he revitalize his career under Frank Reich? If you're a Titans fan and that's the route the Colts go, does Carson Wentz make you nervous based on the success that he's had with Frank Reich before?
Anything's possible, but he, to me, seems like a guy, injuries have really caught up with him. And a little bit like Mariota. It's possible, like you said. I mean, you never know when with a fresh scene and different team. And like you said, they've got that past history, what might happen. But the other guys we've talked about, to me, would be a bigger concern than him. And it seems like, haven't the Eagles kind of, I know that anything can change on this stuff, but they've kind of made it clear that they're keeping him, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, kind of. I mean, the Colts offer you something you can't refuse, then that changes quickly. I mean, I don't think the Eagles are in a great situation right now with Wentz or Jalen Hurts. I like Jalen Hurts. How good's he going to be? I don't know. I mean, I think they're in an interesting spot at that position. But I think the bottom line we discovered in this conversation is outside of the possibility of Deshaun Watson and maybe Derek Carr if the chips fall all in the right place with you know, Watson going to Las Vegas, Titans dodge a pretty major bullet with Stafford going elsewhere. That's how I read this situation of Stafford going to L.A. and not to Indianapolis. Dodged a pretty major bullet if you're the Titans.
They did. I am thinking now about this Watson with Gruden thing. You know,
could be amazing.
That could be, man, that could be something else. And, you know, think about next year, you allow fans into that big Death Star out there. Man, that's kind of fun to think of. I'm sure Fitz is thinking about that a lot.
They'd find some way to screw it up, wouldn't they? The Raiders. Like,
maybe.
I don't know how you screw that guy up, but.
Watson and Mahomes in the same division?
You imagine going from Houston to the Raiders and ending up being in a better ownership situation? Like, okay, cool.
Yeah, right. Anything's better than this right now.
It absolutely is. When we come back, we're going to switch gears and get into the Nashville Predators. They're taking on the Florida Panthers tonight. A tough start to the road trip. Trying to get back on track tonight against Florida. Todd Richards, Predators assistant coach, will join us. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Ryan Porth are with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. The Nashville Predators taking on the Florida Panthers tonight. New Central Division rival in the Florida Panthers. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Predators assistant coach Todd Richards. Todd, what's going on? Thanks for taking time to join us.
Well, good morning, guys. Good to be here.
So, Todd, where do you think this group is right now, in your opinion, 9 games in? Obviously a much different season in terms of the protocols and all the different things that go into just getting on the ice and playing hockey this year. What do you think about your group now, 9 games in?
Well, we still have a little bit to go. There's been some real positive things, I think, through this first 9 games. I think we're all disappointed of where we're at in the standings. And you know, you're always judged on wins and losses. So based on that, there's a disappointment. But I think when, as a coach, especially a coach, you know, you have to look beyond results sometimes. I know it's a result-driven business, and you know, our jobs a lot of times are based on wins and losses. But it's going back and looking at, you know, the whole game, the process. You know, why did you lose the game, or why did you come out on top? And, you know, are you doing things right? And there's good portions of games where we're doing good things. It's getting that consistency, maybe where we lose the game a little bit, or maybe something happens in the game that sidetracks us and gets us off our game, and how quickly can we get back to playing our style or our brand of hockey that we want to play. So disappointed of where it is. There's some good things that we can build off, and I know the players take great pride in it, and they've responded. And I'm not talking results-wise, but, you know, each time John has really challenged them, I think they've responded to that.
So, Todd, John has challenged a little bit after the game the other day, talking about penalties. You know, you got to stop taking the penalties, got to stay out of the box, and said, you know, at some point you got to stop talking about it, you got to start doing it. Well, how do you get that across, and how difficult is it to stop taking those? Because obviously there's a lot of different kinds of penalties.
Yeah, you're right. You know, penalties are a part of our game. It's no different in football too. You know, there's penalties in football, and obviously you don't want penalties because you're just setting yourself back. It is part of our game, and you know, one area that has hurt us a little bit is our penalty killing. So it's been both. It's been the bad penalties, and then not being able to go out and execute on the penalty kill and get the job done there. But you know, there's a couple things that I think John can do is. You know, one of it is take away ice time. That's one way to hold guys accountable to their actions if it's, you know, undisciplined, unnecessary penalties. And, you know, those are things that have been talked about. Those are things that have been addressed. And again, we have to be better in that area.
Predators assistant coach Todd Richards on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Todd, you've obviously been around a lot of gifted defensemen and defense corps in your career so far. What stands out to you about this group here in Nashville?
Well, for me, still learning the players. You know, that's one thing that's been, a little bit, I'm not going to say hard or difficult. It's just been, troublesome as far as just coming in and getting to know the guys. A new coach coming in, myself and Dan Hynote, and just getting in front of the guys. We had to wait. You know, we couldn't be around the players, and I've been in this league a long time, so I have a good feeling for the players and how they play. You know, when you sit on the other bench and you watch these guys, I think you start to come up with some images or thoughts of what these guys do on an everyday basis. But when you get here, sometimes the reality is a little bit different than what you thought it was going to be. So for me, it's learning the guys. Obviously, it's a great group of guys. There's a good mix of different abilities and attributes. Puck moving guys, offensive guys. You got some defensive guys. You got some good size, some toughness, edge, all of those things. So you're right. I've been blessed throughout my coaching career to have been around some really good defensemen, and there's some really good defensemen on this team right now.
Todd, I want to ask you specifically about Dante Fabbro, because he's a guy, obviously a first-round pick, and I think he's got a lot of really good ability in the NHL, and the Predators have been known for their ability to draft and develop high-quality defensemen. What stood out to you so far about Fabbro and his game?
Well, you know, the one thing that he wants is he wants to get better every day. Again, just my brief interactions with him right now, he's the guy that takes ownership in his play. He's grabbed me a couple times and wanting to go through clips. He's a sponge right now, which is really good. Coaches love working with guys that not that coaches are always right, but you know, guys that really want to improve and are constantly working at their game. Right now I see him as a really good two-way defenseman. He's got some offensive ability. You watch the way he skates and the way he handles the puck. And, you know, there was a pass he made. I'm trying to think what game it was. I don't remember. He sent, I think it was our first or second game of the year against Columbus. He sent, Phillip on a breakaway who scored a goal, and it was just a beautiful pass. So to have that vision and then to have the skills on top of that, to make that pass up the ice says a lot about him. And then you start getting into the defensive side. He's not a big defenseman, but he's a competitive defenseman. He can handle himself in corners and out front of the net. You can see that when you go back and watch the tapes about that competitiveness. So and a lot of it is, you know, in our game now, you know, you don't have to be the 6'4" guy on the back end. You can be, you know, a 5'10", 5'11" defenseman and just understand how to play the position and understand about positioning on the ice, which allows you to defend better. And I think he's that guy. He has those types of qualities.
Todd, you mentioned the penalty kill earlier. I think a couple weeks ago, John Hines said, you know, you don't have exhibition games. Maybe some of the things that you would have worked out with those, you know, now instead you're working through things in games that count. Do you feel like you guys have some things figured out there moving forward?
We do. I think it's a little bit like our 5-on-5 game. You know, the Dallas series was just a nightmare for penalty kill. It just seemed like everything went in. Now, we made some mistakes, and they capitalized on that. We did some things well, and the puck just ended up going in the net. Those things happened at times, and it just seems like right now, you know, we can go through a segment or a game, maybe two penalty kills where we do a great job. You, as a coach, again, it's about how we systematically are doing it. You can see we're doing everything right. There's some success. Maybe they make one play and, you know, we get a great save from our goalie or a block, whatever it is. But then we go out on one kill and you know, we don't execute. And then it's ending up going into our net. So it's a little bit frustrating from that standpoint that there are times through a game that we're doing things very well on the penalty kill, and we've been working at it every day and talking about it every day. So we do see those steps. I think sometimes as a coach, you wish the steps were a little bit faster, a little bit larger, that you could move ahead. But sometimes it takes a little bit of time. But we're constantly working at it. The players take great pride in it. The guys that are, kind of known for their penalty kill abilities. So we're getting better, and we want to get better, and obviously it's an area that we have to improve on to give us a chance to win hockey games.
Predators assistant coach Todd Richards on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Todd, we hear all the time about the importance of getting off to that quick start, getting the first goal, and playing with the lead, not just from the obvious standpoint of winning the game and getting up in the game, but playing your style of play and being able to execute your system. I'm curious, from a coach's perspective, how important is that to build an early lead? And obviously, it's been something that's been hard to come by so far this year for the Predators.
Well, part of you know, coaching is, you know, you want to sell something to the players and, you know, to get the players to buy into it. And a lot of times the easiest way to do that is to just go out and have success early on. And I'm talking in the season. And it's no different, you know, in your game plan through a game is, you know, the quicker you can have success in a game, the easier it is for you as far as selling and continue to push that, that same type of style that you want to play or that you want to bring to the game. So, again, it's been a little bit frustrating, and you go back and you can look, and I know the game we lost in Dallas 7-0. You know, first period it was 0-0, and if you went back and watched that first period, we were the better team. And there was some stretches in Tampa where, you know, a good part of the first period, we were on our toes. We were spending more time in their zone, territorial advantage, and we were doing some good things through a game and not able to score. And the one thing you have to guard against now is just here we go again. If we don't score and we end up giving up the first goal, that you can't lose that edge, or you can't let the air out of the balloon. And just kind of, flapping the breeze here a little bit. So that's kind of the big thing. Again, a lot of things. We had a great practice yesterday, worked on a few things. The spirits of the guys are really good right now. And the Florida sunshine certainly helps with that when you get up in the morning and the sun is out. But excited to see what the guys are going to bring tonight.
Todd, we focus a lot on, you know, obviously the star players, the big money players. We've talked a lot this week about, you know, Ryan Johansson, Matt Duchene, 6 points between them, needing more production, needing some goals. You know, I know Matt's obviously very frustrated because he's been so close so many times. As a coaching staff, do you guys talk about things that way? Like, we need to get this guy going or that guy going, or do you not think about it that way?
Well, we are coaching a team, and so you are coaching a team, but, you know, there's a group of individuals that make up the team. So, yes, you are coaching individuals as well, and you're trying to find ways to get them more productive, to 'cause every player wants to feel like they're contributing to their team's success. And you're right, the high-profile guys typically are the scorers, the guys making the big money. But as a coach, you're coaching everybody because you need the fourth line or third line, or you need guys that were on the penalty kill to feel like they're contributing, so that everybody's vested into the team and everybody has a role in the team depending on what that role is. So, you know, whether it's a conversation or whether it's a skill set, you know, something you do on the ice, or it's video, you know, as coaches, we try to sit down. Well, we do sit down every day. And we talk about our team game. We talk about individual games, and then we try to make everything better, you know, each day. I've always said it's, you know, as a coach, you're standing in front of a dam, you know, and behind the dam is water, and it seems like a hole, you know, springs loose. Might be your forecheck, and as a coach, you stick a finger in that to plug that hole, and you fix that, and then, you know, your defensive zone coverage, and so you stick a finger in that hole, and you know, and then you got each player, you know, we got to help this guy, we got to help that guy, and it just always seems like that you're always trying to catch up to all of that, and that is coaching and trying to make your team better. But you know, we sit down, we spend a lot of time together to yes, help individuals and make them better. And then, obviously, if you can make the individuals better, hopefully your team should get better.
Predators assistant coach Todd Richards has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Todd, we appreciate so much you taking time to join us, and best of luck tonight against Florida.
Okay, thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Todd Richards, Predators assistant coach. And when we come back, speaking of this game against Florida, I'll tell you why, even though it's early on, this game is crucial tonight for the Nashville Predators. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tune in later this morning at 8:45 for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click and win a prize pack brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. We'll have that coming up at 8:45. The listeners and Joe Rex Road on a big-time roll in Preds Pick to Click. Ryan Porth, Robbie Stanley, still shut out on the season. So, Porth, we've got some work to do.
You guys will get there.
You think
long
so?
Long season. I mean,
if we don't,
the odds suggest that you will.
Yeah.
But But I feel almost responsible to...
You got a 3-game lead on us.
Well, I almost feel responsible to pick people who need help now, since I'm right so often. You know what I mean?
You think so? That's how good you are at this? Is,
you know, you like, help the like you guys might need, you guys might need me to just let me pick Matt Duchene to help him out, you know?
Okay. That's how good
he
you are.
He probably would like me to pick him.
He probably would.
Well, the listeners keep picking Matt Duchene, and it doesn't work out.
Yeah. Have I picked him yet? I don't think I have.
No?
Maybe sorry, that's Matt. What we're missing. I am sorry, Matt. I'll make amends. Hey, we'll get you a goal,
this
buddy.
This is on you now.
That's right.
you got to pick him now.
Give me a fraction of a fraction of his salary, and I will take responsibility.
A fraction of a fraction. All right, the Preds taking on the Florida Panthers tonight on the road. They've yet to win a road game, and it's 9 games into the season. I realize it's still pretty early, even though this season a little bit different, 56 games. It's more of a sprint than it is a marathon this year. I think tonight's game and then the following game against Florida too, these games are huge. I mean, Florida is off to a 5-0-1 start this year in 6 games. And look, I don't know if Florida's all that great, but I do know looking around the rest of this division, Tampa Bay is 6-1-1. Carolina's 6-1-0. Dallas is 5-1-1. I feel pretty darn good about those three teams. And I feel pretty darn good those three teams are going to be in the playoffs. And, you know, I picked that before the year. I think those are clearly the best three teams in this division. So, really, if you're the Predators, like, you've got to make sure when you're playing Florida and Columbus and Chicago and Detroit, you've got to get as many of those points as you possibly can. Now, you can't go through the rest of the season and just not win against Tampa Bay and Carolina and Dallas, and I realize that. But you've especially got to make sure in these games against Florida and Columbus in particular that you're collecting as many points as possible, because it could come right down to the wire with those two teams for that last spot. Remember, only the top 4 teams in each division get in the playoffs this year.
Yeah, like a month from now, I'll be real surprised if the Lightning, Stars, Hurricanes don't have some separation. And it just looks like it's going to be the Preds, Columbus, and this Florida team in the mix. You cannot afford to blow any points against the Blackhawks and Red Wings. Not many. And, you know, you got a nice start against Columbus. You got that nice, you know, 2-0 start against them. But huge, I mean, early on, but huge games. And I don't love this. I mean, look, I'd much rather see the Preds play everybody else.
Agreed.
I mean, that's a much better season, much more entertaining. But it does... It is interesting. It's almost like a pre-playoff situation, you know, with the condensed schedule and just knowing that everybody you play, you're competing with them for a spot.
I mean, it's amazing to look at those three teams that we talked about right now, Tampa Bay, Carolina, and Dallas. They're a combined 17-3-3. So, like, if you're the Predators, I mean, obviously you've had no success whatsoever so far against those three teams. You have not won a game yet. They're 17-3-3 in the division. And I think Carolina beat Tampa Bay. So that's one of those losses there. So it's just incredible to start those three teams in particular off to. And Tampa Bay last night, I mean, they just absolutely toyed with the Red Wings.
They could have scored 14,
they
right?
could have scored as many goals as they wanted to last night and won 5-1. I mean, they are unbelievable. Yeah. Without Nikita Kucherov.
Right. Yeah, it's unfair. I mean, it's... The Red Wings are unfairly terrible.
They're awful.
They got, what are they, a goal differential, a nice minus 19.
Minus 19.
Right now. Yeah.
No other team in the division is worse than minus 7.
You take your free points every time you play them. I mean, and the Preds will get their first crack here soon. Preds minus 7. So, you know, 4-1 at home, 0-4 away. Got to get a road
win. Now, the 7-0 loss will do that for your goal differential as well.
That's true. You're even up. Yeah, you're even up if you take away the TD loss to Dallas. But it all counts. It's like when someone, you know, running back has an 80-yard run and has a 120-yard day. Yeah, but the 80-yard run, take it away, 40 yards. Well, still have the 80-yard run. Right?
I'd just like to see what the Predators look like with a lead. Like, we've barely seen it this year, the Predators playing with a lead. I mean, they've been...
It didn't bother Tampa Bay.
It didn't bother Tampa Bay, and I realize that. But, I mean, they're a different animal than most people.
Yeah.
And I saw a stat the other day, and I can't remember exactly where I saw it, but it was, I think it was Tuesday. The Predators have held the lead for 37 minutes this year total. That's the total amount of time that they've had a lead. And Montreal at that point was at like 330 some minutes or something like that. It's just like two total extreme. Here's what it was. Yeah, this was on Tuesday. The Montreal Canadiens have been leading in 333 minutes and 9 seconds in their nine games. Predators 37 minutes and 54 seconds.
Wow.
Just getting out to a quicker start. That's what we talked about last segment with Todd Richards. It's not just for the obvious of, you know, hey, you're winning the game. That's where you want to be. It's playing the way you need to play. Like, you get into the third period and you're two goals down. We've talked about, you know, the offensive numbers in the third period for the Predators have been good, and their goal differential, they're winning that in the third period. That's good. Well, that's also because you're having to chase the game and, like, try to, you know, claw your way back into it. You just can't play that way consistently and hope to have any sort of success in this league.
Right, and we know this team. We know it will be like this. They're not going to be this offensively prolific team, which to me makes it even more important to play from ahead. The way you want to play dovetails perfectly with play with the lead, and they haven't been able to do that. So, yeah, I think that those third period numbers are a little bit skewed by situation.
And we've talked about, you know, obviously the offensive struggles and the struggles on special teams. I think the goaltending's got to get better, too. I mean, UC Saros right now is, I think, at a .908 save percentage. Peck is like .864 at the moment. Like, I realize, I mean, you go back and point to some of these games, and I don't know what the goalies are going to do, and especially on the penalty kill.
A lot of
power play stuff. A lot of breakdowns in front of the net. I realize that. I mean, the Tampa Bay game the other night, it's odd man rush after odd man rush, and you can't really put that on the goaltending. But every now and then, you're going to need to see some, like, just gigantic saves made to keep the Predators in the game. Like, we've seen it a couple times. I thought Saros was great in the first two games against Columbus. I thought Pekka played really well against Chicago, made some huge saves in that game. But we haven't seen it consistently enough. We talked so much about it, everything else kind of haunting the Predators right now. There's another level the goaltending is going to have to get to as well.
Yeah, for sure. And I still think it's going to be Saros who gets more work. Obviously, we should see both here in this little two-game set. But Saros is the guy in particular that, you know, you want to see him elevate and take off. It's a big part of – I've felt that, you know, the two goalies they have is an edge compared to some teams in this kind of schedule, because you should be able to feel good every night. But – Saros in particular, it's his time now to take this over and show people that, like, he can be the long-term option for this team.
And then you've got a former Nashville Predator you're going up against tonight. Patrick Hornquist has found his way to the Florida Panthers. He's got 5 goals already. Basically, and if you go back and, like, watch the highlights, he's just standing in front of the net, either tipping one in or getting a rebound. That's what he does. 5 goals right now for Patrick Hornquist.
That was the thing, especially – couple years ago when what we talked about the most about this team was, man, they need a net front presence, yeah. You know? And I wasn't here when they traded him away, but it's like, gosh, that guy was pretty good, wasn't he?
Yeah. Pretty good.
It's good to have a guy like that.
I mean, he was borderline insane for, like, how willing he was to just stand there while Shea Weber's teeing one up, but, I mean, it works, obviously.
Dino Cicerelli, one of my all-time favorite players. Absolutely got annihilated every night.
Holmstrom in Detroit. He just plant right in front of the net.
Went from one to the other. Yeah. Huge, huge part of that success.
That's how you got it. And look, maybe if you're the Predators, take a page out of that book tonight, get to the front of the net, and we'll see if some good things can happen. You think Tolvanen's in there tonight? Looks like Yarncroke's going to be back and available. You think Tolvanen finds his way back in there tonight?
I hope so.
I hope so, too.
Don't you think they need to give him another look?
I do.
I mean, like you just said during the break, he's a goal-a-game player.
Yeah, he is.
You can't sit a goal-a-game player.
You keep that pace up long enough, you'll find yourself in the Hall of Fame.
I mean, until he doesn't score a goal, right?
Yeah.
You play him.
That's right.
I mean, he's on pace to become the first 40-goal scorer in Preds history.
He is. Yeah, he is.
Nice.
Got to keep that pace alive tonight against the Florida Panthers. We'll see if he's in there and if he's able to do it. When we come back, switching gears back into the Tennessee Titans, Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, will join us. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.